All right, so today we are deep diving into some fascinating stuff you sent us.
Yeah, this is great.
It's about Donald Trump. So we have excerpts from All Notes 11272024.
Okay.
And a transcript from Powerful JRE on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
both about that Joe Rogan Experience episode with Trump.
2219.
2219, that's right.
This is when you want to really get into, like, Trump's worldview.
Yeah. Like, what's going on in his head? How does he see the world?
Unfiltered Trump.
Yeah. Exactly. In his own words.
So let's start with his political journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he loves that whole outsider image. And
it's worked for him.
Yeah, it has.
I mean, his lack of traditional political experience is, like, central to his whole narrative, right?
Right.
He's always contrasting himself with what he calls, like, stiff career politicians. Mm-hmm. You know, he's all about, I'm a builder, I'm a donor, I get things done.
Yeah, a man of action, not just talk.
Although he does love to talk.
Oh, he does.
Yes.
And that's what makes these sources so interesting. You know, we get these little glimpses into his thinking, like that story about the White House.
Oh, yeah. What about it? He was surprised by how beautiful it was. He said he expected metal doors.
Huh.
I know, right? It's like, what image did he have of the place?
Yeah. I mean, maybe he saw Washington as this, like, cold, impersonal place.
Yeah.
You know, maybe even hostile.
Yeah, and that kind of ties into his whole thing about appointing people without Washington experience, right?
Right. He wanted outsiders, people he could trust, people who would be loyal.
Although he did admit to some regrets there. You know, like, maybe some of those picks didn't work out so well.
Yeah, he definitely values loyalty and a fighting spirit above all else.
Which makes sense if you see politics as this constant battle, which he clearly does.
He even used the word survivor to describe the people he dealt with in Washington.
But how does that square with valuing loyalty when he himself has shown a willingness to cut ties with people he deems disloyal?
That's a good point.
You know, it seems like a bit of a contradiction.
It is. I mean, maybe he sees loyalty as conditional.
Yeah.
You know, something you earn through unwavering support.
Yeah, like, you got to be willing to fight for him even when it's unpopular. Which brings us to his switch from Democrat to Republican in the early 90s.
Right. He talked about that.
Yeah, he framed it as a strategic move. You know,
yeah.
He basically said the two-party system is the only game in town.
He dismissed third parties completely. Like, no matter how much money you throw at it, it's not going to change.
So for him, it's all about winning.
Absolutely. The politics is a zero-sum game for him.
Winners and losers.
And he felt constantly under attack as president. So he prioritized what he called governing the country and survival.
Well, which takes us to his time in office. He's obviously proud of his economic achievements, those tax cuts, the strong pre-COVID economy.
Yeah, and he was pretty critical of Biden's economic and energy policies.
Oh, she did not hold back.
He believes Biden is weakening America, especially when it comes to energy.
Yeah, he's all about American energy independence, drilling, fracking, you know.
And don't forget his disdain for windmills.
Oh, yeah. He called them disruptive eyesores. Even claimed they kill birds.
Which, to be fair, all energy sources have some impact on the environment.
True. But it's clear he favors traditional energy sources over renewables.
His stance on energy reflects this bigger theme, right?
Yeah, what's that?
It's all about American strength and competitiveness, even if it means putting short-term economic gains ahead of long-term environmental concerns.
America first.
Exactly.
And speaking of America first, he had a lot to say about China, especially their trade practices.
He loves tariffs.
Oh, yeah. He even said the word tariffs is more beautiful than the word love. I mean,
only Trump could say that.
Right. But it also shows how he sees trade as this battleground where the goal is to protect American jobs, bring manufacturing back home.
He really believes tariffs are essential to leveling the playing field with China. You know, making sure they're not taking advantage of us.
Right. But there's a whole debate among economists about whether tariffs actually work.
Yeah, some say they just lead to higher prices for consumers.
And that they can harm certain industries.
Right. But others say they're crucial for protecting domestic industries and jobs.
So it's complicated. But for Trump, it seems pretty clear. You know, he's willing to use tariffs aggressively to get what he sees as the best outcome for America, even if it means disrupting global trade or maybe even starting a trade war.
But it's interesting because he also expressed admiration for China's ability to get things done.
Yeah, he even talked about how President Xi Jinping controls 1.4 billion people with an iron fist.
It makes you wonder what he really thinks about leadership and the use of power.
Right, because on the one hand, he criticizes China's trade practices and environmental record, but on the other hand, he seems to envy their ability to just implement policies quickly and decisively.
It's a bit of a paradox.
It is. Maybe he admires their efficiency, but at the same time sees them as a competitor or even a threat.
Right, like he knows they're a force to be reckoned with.
So it's a love-hate relationship.
Maybe.
Which brings us to another hot-button issue, the 2020 election.
Oh, boy.
As expected, he repeated his claims of a stolen election. He brought up mail-in ballots, voting machine vulnerabilities, media bias.
And he was particularly upset about the suppression of the Hunter Biden laptop story.
Yeah, he sees that as clear evidence of election interference, something he feels the media deliberately ignored or downplayed.
His distrust of the media is a major theme here.
It is. He feels like they're biased against him, constantly trying to undermine him.
He brought up a bunch of examples.
Like what?
The Very Fine People hoax, for one. And then there was that Kamala Harris interview on 60 Minutes where he claims the editing was deceptive.
It's clear he feels unfairly targeted and believes the media is more interested in sensationalism and attacking him than reporting the truth. So where do we go from here? We've explored his political journey, his economic policies, his tough stance on China, and his deep distrust of the media.
It's a lot to unpack.
It is. What are your key takeaways so far?
Well, what really stands out is how his worldview is shaped by this sense of competition, this need to be strong and assertive, and this deep suspicion of anyone he sees as an opponent.
It's like he's always in battle mode.
Exactly. He sees the world as a series of battles to be won, and he's not afraid to use aggressive tactics to achieve his goals.
It's fascinating and a little unsettling, to be honest.
It is.
And we've only scratched the surface.
Right. We still have to delve into his thoughts on woke culture, his views on health and the environment, and that surprising alliance with Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Definitely stay tuned, because in the next part, we'll dig deeper into all of that and explore what his worldview could mean if he were to be reelected. All right. So we're back, and we've been exploring all these different facets of Trump's worldview.
Yeah, from politics to China to his feelings about the media, it's been a wild ride.
Definitely. Now let's move on to another area where he's been pretty vocal, his views on woke culture.
Right, woke, this term that's become so loaded, you know, it generally refers to this heightened awareness of social justice issues.
Right, but for Trump, it seems to represent everything he sees as a threat to traditional American values. Mm.
Yeah, he really went after transgender policies, the defund the police movement, what he called an attack on American history and patriotism.
It's like he views woke ideology as this insidious force that's trying to dismantle American society as we know it.
Totally. And he also seems to think that this focus on social justice is distracting from what he considers the real issues.
Like what?
The economy, national security, you know, things like that.
He also sees it as an attack on personal freedom.
Well.
Individual responsibility, that kind of thing.
Right. And he even joked about how woke companies like Disney are going broke.
Suggesting that Americans are rejecting this woke ideology.
Exactly. Yeah. And here's where it gets interesting. He actually claims that young people are becoming more conservative.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? You'd think they'd be the ones driving the woke movement, but he sees them rejecting the messages of the mainstream media and academia.
Which he believes are pushing a liberal agenda.
Of course.
It's a bold claim, for sure.
It is. It's hard to know how much evidence there is to support that.
Right. But it does speak to his belief that there's this silent majority of Americans who are fed up with woke culture.
And they're looking for a leader who will fight back against it.
Exactly.
Now, we also touched on a topic that's clearly weighing on him, the declining health of Americans.
Oh, right. He brought up that statistic about young men being ineligible for military service.
Yeah, over 70% due to health reasons.
That's pretty alarming.
It is, even if you take it with a grain of salt.
For sure.
But he attributes it more to lifestyle choices, diet chemicals, than to things like healthcare access or environmental factors.
Right. He showed a chart comparing life expectancy to healthcare spending.
And his point was,
the U.S. spends a ton of money on healthcare, but we're not getting the results.
So his conclusion is that the system is broken.
Basically.
And this is where Robert F. Kennedy Jr. enters the picture.
Okay, this is interesting.
It is. Trump said he plans to appoint RFK Jr. to focus on health if he's reelected.
Wow. So he's praising RFK Jr.'s work on vaccines, challenging the power of big pharma.
Exactly. It's a pretty surprising alliance considering their different backgrounds and political ideologies.
Totally. I mean, RFK Jr. has a huge following, especially among people who are concerned about vaccine safety and government overreach.
Right. So by bringing him on board, Trump can tap into that base
and signal his willingness to shake things up, challenge the status quo.
But let's be real. They probably disagree on some things, right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, RFK Jr. is known for his environmental activism.
And Trump has been pretty skeptical of climate change and environmental regulations.
Right. In fact, Trump even joked to RFK Jr., focus on health. You can do whatever you want, but I got to be a little bit careful with the liquid gold.
Liquid gold.
Oil.
Ah.
He's made it very clear that he sees oil as a crucial resource for America.
So that could be a point of tension in their relationship.
He could.
Now let's switch gears a bit and talk about Trump's foreign policy views.
Okay.
He often talks about things in terms of deals, you know, who's winning or losing.
Which isn't surprising given his background in business.
Right. He prides himself on being a tough negotiator, someone who's not afraid to walk away from a bad deal.
And he seems to really enjoy those personal relationships he's built with world leaders.
Even controversial figures like Putin and Kim Jong-un.
Yeah. He even told a story about telling Kim Jong-un, you're going to burn in hell.
Wow.
It's hard to tell if he was serious or just trying to provoke him, but it definitely shows his unconventional approach to diplomacy.
And unpredictable.
Totally.
Now, his comments about nuclear weapons are also pretty interesting.
What did he say?
Well, he acknowledged their devastating power, but he also seemed kind of fascinated by them.
In what way?
He talked about how he rebuilt America's nuclear arsenal.
Yeah.
He even claimed that one bomb could wipe out the entire East Coast.
Okay.
And he said something that really stuck with me. The biggest threat we have in the world today is not global warming, it's nuclear warming.
So for him, climate change is not the top priority.
Not even close.
It's all about military strength and preventing nuclear war.
Exactly. Which suggests a worldview that's rooted in traditional ideas about power and security, you know?
Strength and military might are what matter most, not diplomacy or international cooperation.
He also had some interesting things to say about the media.
Go on.
He believes they're dishonest and biased against him.
Which is a common theme for him.
It is. He claims that he only gets negative press even when he does something good.
And that it's all a deliberate attempt to undermine him.
Exactly.
So he sees the media as an enemy.
Rather than a watchdog or a source of accountability.
Right. He even compared being president to being a cop or a firefighter, saying it's the most dangerous job.
To emphasize the constant threats and scrutiny he feels he's under.
Yeah, it's like he sees himself as this lone warrior.
Fighting against corrupt institutions and a hostile media.
Which is the narrative he's used throughout his career.
And it resonates with his supporters.
Many of whom feel similarly disenfranchised and distrustful of traditional power structures.
It's that whole us versus them mentality.
Which is incredibly powerful in politics.
Yeah, it is. And it helps explain why Trump remains such a polarizing figure.
Okay, so let's move on to his stance on election integrity.
Okay.
He's a big advocate for voter ID laws and paper ballots.
Right. He sees those as common sense measures to prevent voter fraud.
Exactly. He even mentioned that Elon Musk agrees with him on this.
Using Musk's credibility to bolster his own argument.
Fraud?
It is. But his focus on election integrity is also tied to his belief that the 2020 election was stolen from him.
Right. He's still repeating those claims despite the lack of evidence.
And it clearly shapes his view of the current political landscape.
For him, elections are a zero-sum game.
Where any perceived advantage for the other side means they're cheating.
Right. And that mindset makes it really hard for him to accept the results of the 2020 election.
And it fuels his insistence that it was stolen.
Which is dangerous because it undermines faith in democratic institutions.
And it contributes to political polarization.
Exactly.
Now, he also talked about his own health and stamina.
Oh, yeah. What did he say?
He claimed that genetics and golf are the secrets to his well-being.
Interesting.
And he even boasted about playing golf shortly after being shot.
To show how tough and resilient he is.
Exactly. It's all about projecting an image of strength and vitality.
Especially at his age.
Right. He also told a story about passing a physical at Walter Reed. He surprised the doctors with how well he could run on a treadmill.
He's always got to prove himself.
He does. And he loves to exaggerate. You know, he said, I could have gone all day.
Classic Trump.
Now, remember his McDonald's visit?
Oh, yeah. He was pretty proud of that.
He was. He talked about how much online traffic it generated.
And he claimed that Sundar Pichai, the CEO of Google, called him to say it was one of the biggest things we've ever had on Google.
It just shows how aware he is of the power of social media.
And his ability to create these viral moments.
He's a master of branding and self-promotion. So we've covered a lot of ground here. His views on woke culture, his approach to foreign policy, his stance on election integrity, his personal health, his savvy use of social media.
It's exhausting just listening to it all.
It is. What stands out to you as we wrap up this part of our deep dive?
Well, I think the main takeaway is the consistency of his worldview.
In what way?
Whether he's talking about trade deals, nuclear weapons, or woke ideology, he sees the world as a battleground.
Where strength, assertiveness, and a willingness to fight are the keys to success.
Exactly. He's a transactional leader who values loyalty above all else, and he's not afraid to use unconventional tactics to get what he wants.
It's a fascinating and at times troubling portrait of a man who could very well be president again.
It is. And in the final part of our deep dive, we'll explore what all of this could mean for the country and the world if he were to return to the White House.
All right, so we're back for our final look at Trump's worldview.
And the big question is, what does it all mean if he actually gets back in the White House?
Right, because based on these sources, he could very well be president again.
It seems like a real possibility.
It does. So what have we learned about how this guy operates?
I think the main thing is that he's very instinctual, you know?
Okay, like he goes with his gut.
Yeah, exactly. He sees everything in terms of winning and losing.
And he's always got to be the winner.
Always. He even said himself that he'll exaggerate to make a point.
Oh, yeah. He's not afraid to bluff.
Not at all. Okay. He'd rather overplay his hand than risk looking weak.
So it's all about perception.
Yeah, projecting strength dominance.
Yeah.
You know, even when he's talking about his health or that McDonald's visit, it's all part of that.
It's like he needs that constant validation.
Which is interesting because he seems so confident on the surface.
Right, but maybe there's some insecurity there that drives him.
Maybe. And that, combined with his transactional worldview and his tendency to dismiss experts, could really impact his decision-making as president.
Especially since he doesn't seem to trust traditional media.
Or rely on facts and data.
He even admitted that he doesn't read much.
He gets his information from conversations and television.
So how's he supposed to understand complex global issues or make informed policy decisions?
That's the $1 million question, right? I mean, remember that statistic you brought up about young men being unfit for military service?
Yeah, that was alarming.
Totally. But he blamed it on things like lifestyle choices and chemicals.
Not on things like poverty or lack of access to health care.
Right. It's like he sees these problems as individual failings, not systemic issues.
And that individualistic perspective seems to extend to his foreign policy, too.
Yeah. He prefers those one-on-one deals, you know, personal relationships with leaders.
But even if those leaders are authoritarian.
Exactly. He's not really interested in multilateral agreements or working through international organizations.
So it's all about America first.
And getting the best deal for America, even if it means alienating allies or breaking international norms.
Which could lead to some pretty unpredictable outcomes.
Definitely.
So we've talked about his worldview, his strengths, and his weaknesses. What's the bottom line for our listener?
I think Trump is a real paradox. You know, he's a showman who craves validation, but he's also a businessman who approaches global politics like it's a real estate deal.
And he's this self-proclaimed outsider who thrives on the power and attention of the presidency.
His worldview is all about American exceptionalism.
And a deep distrust of elites and experts.
He truly believes that strength and assertiveness are the only way to win.
So love him or hate him, one thing's for sure, a Trump presidency would be anything but boring.
He would definitely shake things up, challenge the status quo, and put America's interests first, no matter what.
It's a high-stakes gamble for the country and the world.
As you continue to think about all of this, consider this. How might Trump's personal experiences and beliefs shape his policies if he's elected again?
And how would his leadership style impact America's role in the world?
Those are the big questions we need to grapple with as we head into the next election.
Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the mind of Donald Trump. We hope you found it insightful.
It's been a wild ride.
It has, and we'll be back soon with another deep dive into a topic you care about.